Lord, we trust you. We trust you in everything. God, we know that our plans are different than yours. And so, God, we trust you in all things. We trust the Lord in all things. That's hard sometimes. It's difficult. But we listen for His voice. And how do we hear God's voice? How do we hear Him and what He has for us in our lives? One thing we realize is God still speaks to us today. Just as much as He spoke to people in the Old Testament, just as much as He spoke to people in the New Testament, He still speaks to us. The major way that God speaks today is through His Word, because we have the written Word. In the Old Testament times, and they had a few scrolls and stuff. In the New Testament times, they had some of the things, but they didn't have it all. And so God, now, He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us by His Spirit in our lives, and we praise God for that. But the number one reason, or the number one way He speaks to us, is through His Word. And sometimes people say, well, I hadn't heard from God lately. And I ask you, have you been in His Word? Have you read His Word? Because God speaks to us through His Word, just as He always did. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9, it says this: however, it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed to us by His Spirit, and the Spirit teaches us all things, even the deep things of God. So God's goal in communicating to us is always not to say anything unless it's important and worth remembering. Have you ever been in a class at school, or you've been somewhere and the people talk and it's just blah, 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 blah. God's never blah, 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 okay? God never just talks so He can hear Himself talk. God speaks, and He speaks for a reason, and He speaks to try to communicate His will to us, and He also speaks not to entertain us, but to conform us to the truth. We looked at that last week. He wants to conform us to the truth of who He is in our lives. And so we must be very listening, very much focused in, and paying attention to what God says. Because sometimes we can miss it if we're not careful what God says. God's purpose in communicating is in three different areas. We want to look at those areas. His main purposes are, number one, is that we comprehend the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. We know that He is the truth, and we want to comprehend the truth and know the truth. We understand fully, number one, is what He is saying. We understand fully what He's saying. Sometimes we hear God and we read the Word and we go, what does that mean? How does that respond? And how do I respond to that? And how do I know that what it says? And that's where the Spirit of God, and that's what that scripture we read, He reveals to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of the mind of God, and He reveals those to us. So when we're reading God's Word, if we come across something and go, I don't understand that, I think I'll go get a book and look at it. I guess I'll go talk to a friend. I guess the first place that we need to run is to the Spirit. We need to go to the Spirit of God and say, Jesus, Your Holy Spirit is to teach me into all truth. So God, reveal to me what this Word is saying. Reveal to me what You're trying to say to me in this Word. Now, it can be confirmed by others. It can be confirmed by other books or other commentaries. But the first place that we go is to God. Who better knows what God's saying than the Spirit of God, right? And so we must learn to do that. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, He says this: we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. He has given us His Spirit. If you are a believer in Christ, He has implanted His Holy Spirit within you, and that Holy Spirit, Jesus Himself said, will lead us into all truth. And because of that, we must call upon Him and allow Him to do this so we can understand what God has given to us. Now, there's three main areas that He wants us to comprehend. Three main areas that He says, okay, I want you to comprehend the truth, but here's the three areas I want you to look at. The first is, He wants us to know the truth about Himself, who God is. Now, we can read all about the attributes of God and understand who He is and understand that He is omniscient and He's omnipotent and all those things. But God wants to reveal who He is to us. Isn't that amazing that God is not distant from us, but God has tried to reveal Himself to us? So, you know, some religions, most religions, spend all their time trying to get to God and figure out who He is. And He is distant. He's out there and He's far away. And because He's far away, they spend all their lives trying to, how do I search God and get close to God and get around God? Not Christianity. God came to us. God revealed Himself to us. God sent His Son so that we could know more about Him. God sent His Son so that we could see, and Jesus said, if you've never seen the Father, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Jesus came so that we could look at Him and see God. Look at what was in His eyes, compassion. God's compassionate. Look at what was in His eyes. God was forgiving. Jesus was forgiving. God is forgiving. Look what was in Jesus' His actions. He healed. God is a healer. God leads us into all truth. And Jesus shared all those things. So when we look at Jesus, we see God. God came because He wants us to fully understand the truth about Him, of who He is. And that's the great thing about God. God is not hidden. He's not some far-off being somewhere that no one can know about. God wrote a book for us to read about Him. God sent His Spirit so that He would reveal Himself to us. And God sent His Son so we could see the very actions and how God loves us so much that He would go to the cross for us and die for us. So He wants to understand the truth about Himself to comprehend that. The second thing, He wants to know the truth about ourselves. He wants us to know the truth about ourselves. He wants you to know who you are. I spoke with a young man this week. One of the things that happened, he was in a situation where someone had put him down and told him he was worthless and he would never be anything. He would never amount to anything in his life, that he was just no good and nothing ever would happen with him. And I shared with him, don't listen to people, listen to God. Think of what the King of Kings says about you and what the Lord of Lords says about you. Too often we get squished by the world and we get put down by the world. And when that happens, we believe we are worthless, we're no good, we'll never amount to anything. God says, you are special. God says, I created your inmost being. I knit you together in your mother's womb, and you are not an accident. Now, some of you in this room may think, I'm just an accident. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat some worms. Right? That's not true. God loves you and has an amazing plan for your life if you will just but follow it and listen to what God has for you. He wants to know the truth about ourselves, and He wants us to know His eternal plan for us. God's eternal plan for us is that we would spend eternity with Him, ruling the world and being in His kingdom. And God is going to do that someday. I believe we're getting closer and closer to that time. And He wants you to know that He wants you to be a part of that. God revealed to all of us in this place here that God loves you and has a plan for your life, and He has a plan for your eternal life, not just your life here, but for out all eternal, His eternal plan. The second thing that He wants to reveal the truth about ourselves is that we are one with Christ, and all the divine privileges are ours. Now listen to that. We are one with Christ, and all the divine privileges are ours. God, the Word teaches over and over again that God has adopted us into His family. And when He adopted you into His family, you became joint heirs with Jesus of everything God has. Everything. Now, sometimes we think, yeah, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You are a child of the King. You are a saint that God has put together and said, this is my child, and I have a wonderful plan for your life. You know you're sitting by a saint today? If they're a believer in Christ, some of you men are going like this. Yeah, I know what you mean. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a saint. Now, you may not have believed that, but let me tell you what. The truth is this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God has put you in His family. He has adopted you into His family. And because He has adopted you into His family, you are one of His children. You are a child of the King. And we ought to start living like a child of the King. We live like paupers in this world sometimes. And we're not paupers in this world. God has a plan for our life, and He wants to reveal the truth of that to you, that you have divine privileges in your life. We're not going to go into all the privileges. We may do that later, but I know this. God has a plan for your life. And the third thing, God wants to know the truth about Himself. He wants truth about ourselves, and He wants us to know the truth about other people. He wants us to know the truth about other people. That they are chosen instruments and His creation. Boy, sometimes I look at some people and go, whoo, I don't know. Can God use that person? You better believe He can. Right now, there's this some girl, she goes around singing in stadiums and stuff and does concerts. Her name's Taylor something, I don't know. What would happen if she became a believer and in those concerts started sharing Jesus Christ? You think the media would like that? You think she'd fill up those places of venues? Let me tell you what. We need to pray for people like that. They have a platform that may be so much greater than ours, that God would reveal to them His truth about who they are and would change their hearts and lives. Can you imagine the impact that could be? Look, and you say, well, that's I don't think that could ever happen. Then go read about Paul. See what happened to him. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Paul was one who brought letters to kill Christians. Paul was a horrible man. God struck him down, struck him blind. He went for 3 days blind, and God sent a man to him to reveal to him the truth of who Jesus was. And Paul went on to write most of our New Testament, one of the greatest missionaries that ever happened, started so many of the New Testament churches. I guarantee the people who saw him when that first happened thought, no way. There is no way. So God wants to reveal the truth about other people, that they are chosen instruments and His creation, if they will but listen to Him. And we need to pray in that way that He will reveal Himself and use them for His glory. Right now, Jesus, I don't know where that girl is. She's probably watching a Kansas City football game somewhere. But I pray, God, You will get a hold of her heart. And I pray, Lord, that she will see who she is in You. And she will turn from her wicked ways and trust in You. And Lord, make an impact for the kingdom of God. We pray for that. Pray for that. What if we started praying for our world leaders? What if we started praying for those people in Washington and people in those places that need to know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that God would change their hearts and lives? What impact that would be. But sometime, we don't listen. We don't listen. Sometimes we are more passive listening instead of aggressive listener. What does that mean? A passive listener does not come to God to hear a decision from Him. You hear that? A passive listener does not come to God to hear a decision from Him. A progressive listener comes knowing and seeking to hear what God has to say. A passive listener says, okay, God, what do you got? Whatever. An aggressive listener says, I want to listen to God and what he has. I want to hear what he has to say. And I'm not going to make a decision, and I'm not going to make a move, and I'm not going to do anything unless God says yes. And when God says yes, that's an aggressive listener. Sometimes we come to God and we're not aggressively listening because we are afraid of what God may say. And when we're afraid of what God may say, we'll never follow God's plan. But if we come aggressively listening and say, God, I'm coming today and I'm going to hear what you have to say. It's kind of like in the military when they line up all the guys and say, I need a volunteer. And the guys go, what for? That's the question you don't ask. You don't say, what do you want? You tell me what you want me to volunteer for, and then I'll do it. No. When he says, I need a volunteer, someone says, I volunteer. What for? I'll tell you later. With God, aggressive listening says, God, I want to come to you. And God says, I need a volunteer. And say, for what? We don't ask that question. We say, God, I'm yours. Whatever. When he becomes the Lord of our life, he is in charge. He is in control. And there's no such thing as the word no Lord. Because Lord itself means yes. Whatever you say, God, I will follow. And I will listen to you. Whatever comes my way, God, I listen to you. So we learn to be aggressive listeners to God and say, God, whatever. Now, sometimes that is totally against what we want, totally against what we have. But God reveals those things to us, and he does that. In Acts 17:11, it says this, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. They were aggressive listeners. They listened. Then in James 1:25, it says this, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Not just hearers of the word only, that scripture says, but doers of the word. Not like, God, tell me what, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. No, when God reveals, we follow. And that's what God wants for our life. And then in Matthew 7:24, Jesus is speaking and he said this, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. So he wants us to comprehend the truth. The second thing that he wants us to do is to be conformed to the truth, to be conformed to the truth of who he is. He never speaks to entertain. He speaks to conform us to the truth. He says he wants us to listen and do what it says and follow after him. He wants to conform us to who he is. If Jesus is the truth and he wants us to be more like Jesus, he wants to conform us to that. And so when he speaks to us, when he says in the word, this is the way I want you to live. This is how your life should be. These are the guidelines for living your life. He does that to conform us to be more like Jesus, to conform us to the truth. In 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, Paul is speaking to Timothy, a young pastor, and he says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Continue. All Scripture, it says there, is profitable for reproof and inspired by God for rebuking and correcting, that the man or the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished into all good works. God calls us to that. And that's what he wants for you. So he does that to conform us to the truth. The third thing that he does is he wants to communicate the truth. He wants us to communicate the truth. Let me tell you a little secret. God never tells you anything just for you. God never gives us anything to keep for ourselves. He wants us to share. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the great commandment says that therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. He says that I'm with you, but I want you to teach. I want you to share what you have. God has given us the truth to share, and He wants us to do that. He never gives us anything to keep for ourselves. In Acts 1:8 it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. God says, I've given you that so you can share with others. It's important that we learn to do that. And let me tell you something. We're all sharing a message. We're all sharing a message. And is it truth from God? Or even in our silence, we're sharing a message. All of us are sharing some way, somehow. And God says, I want you to communicate the truth. I want you to communicate the truth to others. It's important to understand that God wants us to comprehend the truth. He wants us to be conformed to the truth, but He wants us to communicate the truth with others. And someone says, man, I'm scared to death of being rejected. Well, Jesus was rejected. I'm scared to death of, what if I mess up? What if I share and tell them something that's not right? Well, tell them what the Word says, because the Word's always right. And follow the Word. And you say, I don't know how to do that. Well, learn. Learn. Memorize the Roman Road. Memorize some scriptures out of 1 John 1, 9 and 10. Use something to say, I can share these scriptures. And I can do that. Because the Word of God is truth. Share what happened in your life. Share your testimony. Tell them what God has done for you. It's important to communicate the truth of who He is. And if we will do that, we hear God's voice and we communicate the truth of who He is. God can change people around us, our families, and others if we will just listen to what God has to say for us. You ever heard the phrase, putting words in God's mouth? Or putting words in someone's mouth? Where we kind of tell what we want people to hear. God says, don't put words in my mouth. You listen. We're great at praying. And sometimes we're great at praying long prayers. Our prayer may be 10 minutes of praying and 30 seconds of listening. What if we just paused and said, God, speak. Let me hear. And if we do, we will be confirmed and conformed to the truth of who God is. God, I pray. And thank you, Lord, that you want to conform us to the truth of who you are. And thank you that you love us. And thank you that you provide for us. And Lord, thank you that you want to talk to us. Help us to stop and listen and be still and know that you are God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.